is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. The Oregon State Legislature beginning a special session on Wednesday. We'll be covering a lot of that with interviews during the course of the session and some of the lawmakers already in Salem, including State Senator Dallas Hurd joining us from the Capitol this afternoon. Did folks start rolling in last night?
You know, I don't know, Kyle. I made the drive up this morning, and our name tags are down in the legislative basement on our parking spaces. So, and I don't know what every car that everybody drives is. So I would say that there's probably less than 12 of us of the 90 total House and Senate members that are currently in the building actually present. I came up a couple days early because I just wanted to be prepared and fully understand what we're getting into on Wednesday. But I will admit, as we'll discuss today, that it's the information is very fluid and very incomplete by design by the majority party Democrats. So there's just a lot of really concerning things happening right now in our state's history.
Well, of course, the governor last week talking about having the session to cover some COVID-19 things that she'd put in place and codifying those into law, and then also to deal with police reform in light of everything that's been going on. And she said that a second special session will come later to cover the budget, which I know a lot of the GOP have said they thought should be the first priority.
Well, it's not just the GOP. I mean, maybe from a public sense, but in the constant conversations I have with some of my rural Democrat legislative colleagues and whatnot, there is universal disgust and frustration, both Republicans and Democrats, as far as the way this governor, the speaker, and the president of the Senate continue to try to run this state. And I look at the comments on social media and whatnot from folks that are obviously lean left, hard Democrat individuals and whatnot, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. At least that's how the Republicans and conservative side of society feels. We believe everybody should have a right to an opinion. Obviously, the hard left, with the way they are going about things in a very public manner now, does not believe in the First Amendment. Not at least for the rest of us, just for themselves. And so it's just becoming ever more concerning for me and others to watch how there doesn't really seem to be any law anymore. It seems like the Democratic Party is fully diving into and investing in an anarchist style type way of governing and legislating, because it just seems like with every passing day, it becomes less and less clear what laws really matter, what ones don't. Certainly our rights as individuals don't seem to really matter. That's what's really concerning to me on a national level, is that our citizens no longer seem to understand what rights actually are. The Democratic Party has done, and the hard left for that matter, has done a very thorough job of perverting the whole idea of rights. Rights are a negative thing, meaning what the government can't do to you. If you speak your mind, it doesn't matter how heinous it is, whether leftist opinion or a right opinion, the government does not have the ability to silence you. But yet we start to see people in this society, from the Democratic Party to just hard leftist activists, calling publicly daily for the president not to be able to speak his mind on Twitter, which is a public social platform, which I feel like really does start to get closely related to censorship and how it should be seen as if the government was doing it. We can't become a society that starts to pick and choose who gets to have an opinion and who doesn't. We can't become a society that endorses this fascist style type action where people lose their jobs, they lose their entire lives because they have an opinion that the hard left and the uber rich Jeff Bezos, Amazon CEO types of the world, for whatever reason, don't like. It's becoming a very scary country almost overnight, it seems like. So we're up here in Salem right now. We're trying to get an understanding of what's going to happen. But I'll tell you, Kyle, it's like watching a river. Things are changing almost every minute. One moment we have 25 concepts we're going to be looking into. Don't really have any clarity of what that will be. There are some LC drafts, which is a legislative concept. It's kind of the form of a document that is not fully matured into a bill, but as we speak right now, it's shrunk to 22 concepts. Last week, it was as many as 33 concepts, And I become extremely concerned when several of my Democratic colleagues in the House and the Senate, some of them very high-ranking and senior members of the legislature, are telling me they absolutely have no idea where this bus is heading.
Well, as things get started structurally, I'm curious, there were some questions early on just about how it's going to be laid out with social distancing and how many people in what room and things like that. What have you heard so far?
Well, again, I'm going to speak to what I feel like is a warm-up of what the Democratic Party and the hard left is trying to get society prepped and ready for. When you enter this building, keep in mind, folks, and for the folks from the Democratic side of the aisle that I see make just ridiculous comments, and I'm talking hard leftists. I'm not talking about you folks out there that are just registered Democrat, that you're just a regular person like everyone else. You make your decisions like you do in November about who you're going to vote for, but you're always thinking for yourself. Well, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the folks that are just, you know, and both parties have them. You got people on the Republican side that there's just nothing a Democratic individual can do that they'll embrace and say is good, and vice versa. There's lots of Democrats out there that there's nothing a Republican can say or do that they'll say is good stuff. So what is really concerning to me as I step into the Capitol building here is that ironically, have been given a place of privilege by the Democrats who scream and yell about privilege all day long, in some cases very rightfully so, but they are the ones actually creating a privileged class right now. It is the supermajority Democrats from Eugene and Portland who have declared that you, the people, Kyle, you, the people at the News Review there, the citizens that read those papers and are listening to our radio right now, you do not have the right, according to Governor Brown, Speaker Tina Kotek, and Senate President Peter Courtney, to enter your own Capitol building right now. Let's all digest that for a moment. You, the people, do not have the right to enter your own Capitol building. But I do, because I'm a member of the legislature. The governor does. Frankly, the governor seems to think she can do anything she wants from one day to the next because she's claiming all this authority through this executive power. That is very much, in my opinion, up for the debate whether she's really utilizing it properly or not. So because we have a state Supreme Court who is completely bought and paid for by the public labor unions, thus the Democratic Party, she basically has free will to do whatever she wants. So you're not allowed to come into your Capitol building. When you step into this Capitol building, it is understood that you are supposed to all wear masks, which I've already said publicly in the News Review article over the weekend that I will wear masks when people start coming into this building, because I feel like it's the least I can do for folks that are afraid of COVID-19 being passed around. It's just the least I can do. So I'm going to choose to do it. I am not doing it because I feel forced to by any authority, because I do not recognize any of these politicians, namely Governor Brown, as an authority over me or any of you listening to this. And I would encourage you to start thinking the same way, because they have arrows all over the hallways of this building saying which direction you can go and which way you can't. The hell with that. I'm going to go wherever I want to because I'm a free citizen. And this is my Capitol building. It is your Capitol building. I can't believe that we have found ourselves now where half of our society is openly embracing, just because they're part of the same political party, complete tyranny. How can the same governor say that she is for what she says she is for? Because when one day she says that she's for fining small business owners who are citizens just like you and me for opening up their businesses and exercising their rights and freedoms to earn an income, not only for themselves, but for their employees. And on the next day, she says she's openly for protests, that people are out there 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people at a time, closely all together, some wearing masks, some not, never practicing social distancing. She's all for their right to protest. And oh, by the way, so am I. See, I'm the one that's consistent, and the people on my side of this situation are consistent. We support your right as free citizens to run your businesses, to go to your place of work, to go to the grocery store, to freely assemble at a community of faith or at a park or at a protest for all I care. As long as you're not damaging directly other people's property, exercise your First Amendment rights. But this governor and this Democratic Party wants to play political favoritism, because one day, if you're a Republican or a conservative or a rural American, they're going to fine you for exercising your rights. But if you're some whoever from Portland burning down an entire community, but you're considered to be on their side of the political aisle, they're going to fully endorse that. And then at the same time, they're going to say that they're all for equality, but they, the elitist members of society, these hard leftist Democrats, won't let you, the people, no matter who you are, into the building while they go in and create law under a cloak of secrecy that is going to govern all of our lives. Where is the consistency? Where is the outrage from the people that are in the center left of society to the hard left? Where is the outrage? I don't understand it, because we need to always remember, people that are willing to do this kind of stuff, doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat, they're doing it to all of us. They're saying that some of us are worthy and some of us aren't. And we need to all be outraged against that. It doesn't matter if it comes from Donald J. Trump or Nancy Pelosi. We need to all hold our political officials accountable when we start to see them pick and choose who they're going to protect as far as their rights and who they won't.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Senator Dallas Hurd, live from the Capitol in Salem, getting ready for the special session of the Oregon State Legislature, which begins on Wednesday. 1246, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson at 1, live from Salem. State Senator Dallas Hurd in the Capitol building, getting ready for Wednesday's special session of the Oregon State Legislature. A number of things to cover in this segment. I wanted to ask about, with all the heightened emotions in society and everything right now, does it appear that the security level at the Capitol is going to be any different for this special session than in prior sessions?
Well, you know, I don't know if it'll necessarily be different, Kyle, at the Capitol building, but what is different, and again, this goes back to the hypocrisy of the radical left and the Democratic Party who is fostering that movement. I want people to get on Google or whatever search engine you use, DuckDuckGo, whatever, and I want you to start looking for what is just all over the place, which is you have highly ranking Democratic elected officials across this nation calling for defunding and dismantling of our police forces, which, look, it's like I said in the newspaper over the weekend, I look at the police the same way I look at the DEQ or the FBI or the Forest Service or our state park system. Like, you always have to, from my perspective, look at it through the prism of our state public employees or federal employees, government agencies, no matter what agency they're housed in, always must treat citizens the same way, try to do everything they can to serve and protect our freedoms and rights and whatnot, as we all try to get along with each other and do everything they possibly can to prevent and de-escalate violent conflicts between government and private citizens. But what's amazing to me is that the Democrats are calling for defunding and dismantling of our police forces that are called to protect law-abiding citizens. They're calling for the Portland school districts here in Oregon to have no security guards at the schools. I want you to think about that. Democrats in this state are calling for Portland school districts to have zero security guard presence at the Portland school districts. But we have, probably ratio-wise, as far as people that are in the building that it has security present, have the highest potency ratio of armed security guards in any building in the state of any kind here at the state capitol. The state capitol building that you, the public, are not being allowed to participate and come into. And we have armed security everywhere. When this session fires up, we'll have dozens of armed security law enforcement personnel present. Think about the hypocrisy of that. Our children don't deserve to have security, let alone armed or otherwise, according to these same Democrats. But they themselves want to have basically one security guard per, I'd say, probably every 3 to 4 legislators. If that doesn't make you worried about where this is all going and disgusted, I really don't know what can be said to get you to think about this at that point. I think probably the vast majority of citizens hearing this, probably 80 to 90%, regardless of political party, are all very concerned when they hear that. And go ahead, fact check it all you want. They are calling for dismantling and defunding of our police forces. They are calling for our children to be completely exposed to any creep in society that wants to go after those soft targets at our schools. But the elitist, rich Democrats want to have one security guard with a pistol on them and body armor and the whole thing for at least every 3 to 4 legislators. I just don't know how we as a society can turn a blind eye to that.
I want to ask about the economic impact of the pandemic in Oregon. I talked to somebody over the weekend, and their industry was shut down during the first part of March into April into early May. And they said of all of the people they worked with, several, anyone who'd applied for the type of unemployment that they were due had not have been successfully able to get a case started with the employment department. Are you seeing any change there?
No, there's been zero change. So let's go back in history a little bit here. So under total Democratic governance over the last several decades here, but especially the last 20 years, back in 2009, I believe it was, the legislature allocated, I think it was $88 million to the agency that is the State Unemployment Division to upgrade their computer system, which has been the focal critical point of the failure here in the state, doling out the unemployment benefits that we as employees pay into that system. Employees and employers pay into that system for moments just like COVID-19. So we've got constituents that are calling our office all the time, just like anybody else that's in elected service, saying, I'm calling the unemployment department and I'm getting nothing but a busy signal. It's been months now and I still haven't gotten my first unemployment check to help me ride out this very difficult time we find in our state's history. And these Democrats who run everything in this state have chosen not to address that critical issue that is literally affecting hundreds of thousands of Oregonians in this special session coming up this week. Think about that. We are not going to discuss or talk about the unemployment system and the complete dumpster fire that it is at all this week in this special session. How can anybody know that truth and still support this supermajority of hard leftist Democrats, primarily from Portland and Eugene? I mean, come on, folks. At some point, you have to break away from the group you've been running with the whole time, because if they start to go a different direction than what is right, you have to start pulling back against it and get people to come back to the middle and serve the greater good of all, not just one party or the other. And I'm extremely critical of my own party. I've been critical of them publicly. I'm very critical of us privately amongst ourselves and whatnot, because you have to be. You have to hold your own family accountable. Otherwise, you can't really say you're a decent human being. And right now, I'm just amazed at how the media from Portland, especially in Eugene, seems to have no desire to research this stuff, seems to have no desire to criticize fairly or evenly the political party that is running this state and its people into the ground.
What about the budget shortfall situation? That's one of the things that's not on the table during the session.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, here's the thing. There's a lot of important topics on the menu right now to talk about. Like I said earlier, there's no clarity over what we're really talking about yet. We don't have any set bills yet, which is very frustrating given that we're less than, 2 days from the start of a special session. But the fact of the matter is, if we don't start getting some clarity on some of this stuff and start working hard on the budget shortfall that is, we're estimating, Kyle, that's going to be anywhere from $2.7 billion to as much as $4+ billion. And that, I want to explain that to folks. That's the current budget that we have set for ourselves for the next 2 years. Because of COVID-19, because of the economic shutdown, we are now going to have to pull back from the scheduled spending that we put all that work into in the previous sessions. And we're not addressing that. We are still waiting to address that. You have to ask yourself why. There's nothing keeping Governor Brown from adding more things onto this list. There's nothing keeping Senator Courtney and Speaker Kotek in the House from adding more of that stuff to this menu of topics we're going to discuss here in the special session. You really have to ask yourself why. I have my theories, but they're really just theories, so I don't feel very responsible in airing them out right now. But nothing, in my opinion, can argue that they are being responsible right now with how they are managing this state, because there is no time like the present when you know you've got a hole in the bottom of your boat, which is your budget, to start shoring that situation up, to start doing the hard work of diving into every agency's budget and looking for fat to be trimmed, meaning inefficiencies, so that you don't find yourself 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months down the road here, and all of a sudden the bus is about to completely run you over, and now because you don't have the proper time to dive into your budget system, you start making draconian cuts that really hurt a lot of different people, because you didn't want to do the hard work earlier when you could to find just, hey, if we tune this up, we can keep things really going the same way they were going. If we do this and do that, if we move this investment here and that, we can actually keep this boat pretty steady. We're not doing that. They're wanting to respond to emotion. They're wanting to satisfy their most radical factions of their base, which is probably less than 10%, in all honesty, of this state's population. We have the tail wagging the dog because we have one party control. and they are run by the public labor unions and a couple other hardcore special interest groups, and it's not serving the greater good of all the people here in the state of Oregon, and I just don't know how anyone can support that.
State Senator Dallas Hurd out of time. Thanks for being on live from the Capitol this afternoon.
Take care.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.